All right, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, if you'd like. Proverbs chapter 23. If you haven't already gotten an outline, I do have just a few more. You need one? Okay. And we're continuing this series that we've been on for a while called Principles from the Proverbs. Kind of a topical series through the book of Proverbs. And though we may spend two or three messages on a particular topic, we're dealing with kind of different topics throughout the book. And we've talked about what? We've talked about family, we've talked about relationships, we've talked about finances, just all kinds of things that are covered in the book of Proverbs. And today we happen to be discussing friendship. I think it's the second in our series. We'll have one more too. The second part of our current study on what the book of Proverbs says about friendship. So Proverbs 23, I like to kind of start out these lessons by just kind of reading several verses from the Proverbs and then getting into our study. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 23, starting with verse 17. Verse 17. And the Bible says this, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for fear of the Lord all the day." Now, I want you to notice something about this. Your relationship with people starts with your heart. It starts with your heart. It begins in your heart. See, we're told not to envy sinners. Envy comes from the heart, doesn't it? And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But where we get kind of jealous at someone. And particularly, there's an envy that comes sometimes when toward those who are wicked in society, those who are not wholesome individuals. We're kind of envious of them sometimes. In our day and time, unwholesome individuals are kind of elevated in our society today, aren't they? It's just kind of funny that everything's the opposite of what it should be. They're the ones being glorified, and God said, don't be envious of sinners, but be in the fear of the Lord, he says. And again, that is an attitude of the heart. And I can guard against against envy of the sinful, envy of the unwholesome, in my if my heart attitude is geared towards a fear of the Lord. Now, why is that important? Verse 18. "For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." So envying sinners and wanting to do what they do and be what they are is basically senseless, isn't it? Because they have no hope. Right? Whereas the wise, whereas the godly have a hope. We have it. And the immediate pleasure of sin cannot be compared with the ultimate hope associated with the fear of the Lord. The end of verse 18 says, "Your hope will not be cut off." And the motivation provided is that the future belongs to the righteous. There is a future hope and a reward that comes with fear of the Lord. Verse 19, "Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers." Now, what is a winebibber? That's someone who drinks too much, right? Or with gluttonous eaters of meat. Now, that's someone who eats too much. So the way to keep your heart in the way is to avoid drunkenness, to avoid gluttony. And it's interesting today how many believers will condemn the former but kind of accept the latter, won't they? They practice sometimes the latter. And when both are actually condemned in Scripture. Right? Verse 21, "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." So excessive eating and drinking are usually signs of deeper problems. Apparently those two sins lead to drowsiness, which leads to probably laziness in our lives. And ultimately, that laziness will lead to poverty. So not only are you not to be involved in those things yourself, but you're commanded not even to mix with those types of people. with wine bibbers and gluttonous people. Why? Because there is an automatic influence that comes when we make those types of people our close associates, our friends. Now, what I'm talking about today is the topic of friendship. And our friends, as we know, will influence our behavior. They will. In fact, the people who are our closest friends. Now, I'm not talking about people who, you have to associate because of work or maybe because of a church situation or something like that. Those people can be, but they're not necessarily your friends. But when I say friends, I'm talking about people who you have a real close personal relationship with. That being the case, those people will influence your life. And let me say this again. You are a mirror of your friends. You are like the people whom you make friends with, whether you like it or not. They are your mirror. So be very careful about that, huh? Solomon repeatedly throughout the book of Proverbs reminds us and warns us about our associations. And there are some people with whom a Christian should neither be friends or partners. And that's vital. It's vital that believers be familiar with the types of people that they should avoid, let alone the types of people that they need to be close to. And, some people may say, well, but Pastor, I thought Christians were supposed to be friendly, friends with everyone and embrace everybody. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, that will, hanging out with the wrong types of friends will damage your Christianity. There are people who have positioned themselves spiritually and attitude-wise that you as a Christian do need to avoid. So you don't become like them. So remember last time we met, we said that one of the fundamental principles of friendship is this, and we quoted a verse from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the counsel of his friend. So I am influenced, I am affected myself by the people with whom I run. I am either made sharper by them, or that same sharpening, that same kind of influence that could sharpen me can also dullen me. It can dullen me spiritually, or it can cool me off spiritually. And that same element can do me hurt. And I should not fellowship with the wrong types of personalities. Now, last time we also talked about two friends. Remember, we started this list. It's been what, a month and a half now, but I hope you remember this. We started with two friends whom we should avoid, and we promised to continue that list today. So we'll do that. But the first two friends, first of all, we talked about the carnal person. The carnal individual, that would be Roman numeral number one. And the person who's all about, this is the person who's all about having a good time. All about fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And while with little concern for the spiritual at all. We talked about number two, the bitter person. Now, do not make friends with a bitter person. I have made friends with a couple of bitter people or people who became bitter. And I had to break off those friendships. So you will regret it if you make friends with a bitter person. I avoid bitter, angry people. Bitter and negative people. I avoid them. You know why? I don't have time for that. I really don't. And I don't want their attitudes to rub off on me. I don't want to become a bitter person myself. So let's just kind of stop here and deal with something. Now listen, you can either decide in your own life that you're going to be bitter and negative and criticize everything, or you can decide in life that you're going to fix the problems that you see. Now, I have determined in my life to be a fixer. And I'm not going to hang out with somebody who's bitter or critical or always complaining about things without coming up with any kind of answer. Let me give you kind of a fictional example of this. Let's imagine this is a church building, and someone comes in the door and comes up to me or Pastor Elijah and says, you know what? When I came in here, when I opened the door, the hinge on the door was squeaking terribly. What's wrong with this place? It's falling apart. Now, they're just complaining, right? How ridiculous that would be to stand around and just complain about the various things you see. Complain about everything that's bothering you. You know what I would do? If I found the door of the church squeaky, well, I'd go down to the basement or go to the store or whatever and find a good can of WD-40, and I'd be squirting down all those hinges until they're working, because I want to be a fixer. I don't want to be a complainer, right? I don't want to be a critic. I don't want to be negative and bitter. I want to be a fixer. And that's what you ought to be. That's what we all ought to be in life. Don't be critical. And stay away from critical people. Now, before we continue on this list, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless our study in His Word together. Huh? Lord, thank You again for Your Word. This is Your Word, and I pray that it itself would come across loud and clear. Lord, help me to, in my words, to do it justice. Lord, put words in my mouth that You want me to say. Lord, help me to be a person who encourages others to be the right type of friends themselves, Lord, and also to be people who choose the right types of friends while avoiding the wrong type. Lord, bless our study together in Your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what's another friendship to avoid? This is Roman numeral number 3. Another friendship to avoid, a rebellious person. Roman numeral number 3, a rebellious person. Now, we're going to get to our passages. Proverbs 24, if you want to turn there. Proverbs 24. Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 21 and 22. So, Proverbs chapter 24, starting in verse 21, it says there, "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that those two can bring." And by those two, they're probably referring to the Lord and the king. But we talked earlier about fearing the Lord. Now here, something else is added, isn't it? We're not only to fear the Lord, but what? We're to fear the king. We're to fear government, in a sense. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter tells us that good citizenship is part of godliness. He says that in 1 Peter 2. And the Apostle Paul even chimes in with the same theme in Romans chapter 13, the first 7 verses there. So God puts them, that is these people in charge, in government, He puts them there for our good. And as much as is possible, we are to respect and follow the rules that those in authority over us put in place. And of course, this applies to all forms, really, of legitimate authority. I mean, it probably refers to also to bosses, to teachers, to parents, all those who may have authority over us. We're not to rebel against them. And at the end of verse 21 there, of our verses there, "Do not associate with those given to change." Now, if you have an ESV, it reads like this: "Do not join with those who do otherwise," who rebel against authority, against God and government. Now, have you ever noticed that if someone can somehow declare a rule silly, then somehow they no longer have to obey that rule? "That's just a dumb rule. I don't have to obey that." Well, maybe you've done it yourself. I have. I've done it. When the fact is, there may be very legitimate reasons why those rules are in place that we ourselves aren't even aware of. Now, we cannot pick and choose which rules to follow and which rules we can ignore. Now, of course, if it clearly contradicts the clear commands of God's Word, then we ought to obey God and not man. We ought to do that. But We must also not only fear God, but respect and obey as far as we can the authorities that God has put in place over us. And the Proverbs go a step further. And they say, do not associate with a rebellious person. Not only do not be one, but don't be near one. Don't associate with one. Now why? Verse 22. For their calamity will rise suddenly, and no one knows the ruin that these two can bring. So calamity will come upon the rebellious from both God and from government. It's going to happen. Their downfall is certain. And it often comes suddenly. It often comes beyond expectation and beyond prediction. And when it comes, don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in it. Avoid a rebellious person. Let's look at Roman numeral number 4. The next person we should not make our friend. A dishonest person. A dishonest person. I'll turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. We're going to look at verse 24 of Proverbs 29. The Bible says this in Proverbs 29:24. Proverbs 29:24. It says, "Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life." Now listen, if you run with the wrong crowd, you will do yourself damage. Calamity will come upon you. The Bible says, "Whoever is partner with a thief hates his own life." So that leads us to letter A. And letter A is this. It is wrong to partner with anyone who does not share your core values and beliefs. It is wrong to partner with anyone who does not share your core values and beliefs. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Now I want you to see this. We need to emphasize, I think, this passage more often than we do as Christian people. We do in some circumstances, but there are others we don't. Some people would say, Paul, we should just embrace everybody who comes down the pike. And that is not what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Chapter 6 and verse 14. You probably know this verse. You can quote this verse. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, to be yoked together with an unbeliever is to be placed in a situation where you are intrinsically connected to that person, to an unbeliever. Particularly, this is applicable, and we use it a lot, in terms of marriage. When someone gets thinking about marriage, someone may come to me and say, "Well, Pastor Paul, I'm a Christian, but the guy I'm dating is not a Christian. And you know what? We want to get married. What should we do? Should we go ahead and do it?" And my advice to them is this: absolutely not. Not on your life. That's my advice. If you're a Christian, you do not marry a non-Christian. Right? It's better that way. Why? Because the Bible talks about it. Let's continue here. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Now, that means I should not draw myself into close associations with an individual who does not share my core values. Now, listen very carefully. This means that there are some people in our lives, in our Christian lives, with whom we should never have a close business relationship with, I think. There are some people who I would never join in a business partnership with. Why? Because they don't share my core convictions and my beliefs. And it's always dangerous to unite those two. Letter B. Partnership in a wicked endeavor is particularly egregious. Partnership in a wicked endeavor is particularly egregious. Whoever is partner with a thief. Now you've joined with a man who is dishonest. He's a thief. And that's particularly bad, the Bible says. Now why? Now, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. Look at another verse here dealing with that. Proverbs 11 and verse 21. And it says in Proverbs 11, in verse 21, it says, though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. Speaking of not associating with the wicked or with thieves, I watched a show a while back about a man who was part of a gang. And this gang ended up robbing a store or something like that. And they arrested him too. And they put him on trial. And his defense was this. Yes, these other people, they robbed the store, but I wasn't involved with that. I was just there. I didn't do it myself. Well, that's not much of a defense, right? When you hang around with those type of people, you're going to suffer the consequences. He just happened to be there, but he was there, right? Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. You know, you line up with the wrong person and you will pay the price. Now, how did this man get there? He got there by wicked associations. And that's how he got there. Wicked associations. Now, let me urge you to be careful with the associations that you make. Letter C. Partnership with dishonest individuals may influence one to participate in their dishonesty. So partnership with dishonest individuals may influence one thing to participate in their dishonesty. Am I sounding hoarse already? Never underestimate the power of influence, whether for good or for evil. Never underestimate that. Oh, but Pastor, if I'm around this particular person, I can influence them for good. Well, that's not always what happens. That's often not what happens, right? Oftentimes, they influence you to their point of view. So be really careful about that. That's why it's so important sometimes for those of us who have children to be aware of the friends that our children are making, to be aware of the associations that and the kids that our kids hang around. Right? But Pastor, you can't hide them from the world. No, you can't. But I can shelter them as long as I can. I can shelter them as much as I can while they're young. And once they've once my children are grounded, and once they know the Word of God, and once they learn to stand firm on the Word of God, then they'll go out in the world and they'll be salt and they'll be light everywhere they go, in their schools and workplaces and things like that. But right now, I am shielding them from negative influence. And I think that's a vital concept that we have to keep in our minds as we raise our kids. Shielding them from negative influences. Letter D. Our friendships have a spiritual element. Our friendships actually have a spiritual element. Notice this. Whoever is partner with a thief hates his own life. Now, in many other places, that same word in Hebrew, the word for life is translated soul. And the King James actually uses the word soul here. There's a spiritual element to our friendships. And the soul is damaged by illicit associations. Now, what does the Bible mean by soul? Well, sometimes people have a different definition of what soul is, depending on whether you're a dichotomist or a trichotomist or whatever. But by my definition, the soul includes the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's the non-physical part of us. And so when I run with the wrong crowd, it messes with my mind. It influences my actions, and it will taint my emotions. It will damage my soul. So be careful who you run with, because it will affect you on the inside. It truly will. It will affect your soul. Avoid dishonest people. Well, number five, another person we should avoid, a foolish person. A foolish person. Turn with me to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Now it's time to take a drink. Proverbs 14, we'll look at verse 7 there. Proverbs 14, verse 7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge." I should stay away from, yes, dishonest people, the thief in Proverbs 29:24. But now in Proverbs 14:7, I'm to stay away from the foolish man. I'm to avoid him. I'm to go from his presence. That leads us to letter A. It is not unchristian to avoid individuals who would waste one's time in foolish, morally questionable talks. That's a mouthful. It's not unchristian to avoid individuals who will waste one's time in foolish, morally questionable talks. Now, remember what we said, and I think we've said several times, about the word fool in the book of Proverbs. The word fool in the book of Proverbs carries with it a moral connotation. In other words, not only is this guy just goofy, which may be part of being a fool, but he's goofy in an immoral sense. Perhaps his language and his discussions cross the line into shaded and tainted by immorality. But when you perceive that, the Bible says that you're to leave the presence of that person. Right? Don't be with them. Letter B. Avoidance should not be obvious or self-righteous. It should not be obvious or self-righteous. Now, you do not need to declare publicly your decision to remain at a distance from certain people. Right? Silence is golden. But listen, you don't want to be influenced, yes, but you don't want to come across as some kind of self-righteous, pious, odd individual. Right? If you have the choice of not being in the presence of an individual whose speech is morally contemptible, whose actions are, who's a foolish person, then simply avoid that person without all the fanfare. Right? Without declaring that you're doing so to everyone else. You know, it never seems to amaze me when I hear Christian people say, you know, I'm doing this and this and I'm avoiding this person or whatever, and this is why I'm doing this and this is, I'm going to let everybody know. Now, you don't have to do that. Right? Just obey the Bible and don't be offensive to other people. And you know what? There are some people that I avoid. There really are. And they don't even know I avoid them. You know, because the Bible says that there are certain classes of people to avoid. And when I get around them, I'm there for just a few moments, and then I find a way to meander on off somewhere else. Right? Why? Because I don't want to waste my time with foolishness. None of us do. It's dangerous. It's a waste of time. Letter C. Obedience to this principle requires one to pass judgment on another. Yes, we are passing judgment on another. Oh boy. Do you see that? Wow, Pastor, am I really allowed to do that? Well, remember, in judging another, you're not condemning them eternally. You're not judging their spiritual state. Rather, you're discerning their character, which is something the Bible says we ought to do. Now listen, one of the most misused verses in all the Bible is that verse that goes, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Right? This is one of the most misused verses in the Bible. Because you must judge. You're judging every day. You're judging between righteousness and unrighteousness. Right? You're making those judgments. You're not condemning someone to hell. God is the ultimate judge of that. But you do have to discern between right and wrong. Many decisions we make during the day. You have to discern between the moral and the immoral. And in this command, we have to discern between the foolish man and the righteous man, the wise man. And there are some people in your mind that you're going to have to place in one category or another so that you know how to react. Because the Bible commands it. The Bible wants us to do that. But before we can ever go from their presence, you have to mentally place them in that category. So you are judging. And in that sense, you pass judgment on them. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "By their fruits, you will know them." Right? Matthew 7, verse 20. It is legitimate to avoid someone based on the character qualities that are revealed in their life. That, in a sense, is judging, yes. But it's not the wrong sort of judgment. It's simply looking at them and discerning their character. Letter D. The speech of an individual is the basis for discerning his character. Their speech is the basis of discerning their character. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when do you decide a man is foolish? Well, according to the verse we read earlier, Proverbs 14:7, when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Right? Now listen to this. His lips, that is his speech, is what is giving him away. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now that is one of the greatest keys to discerning human character. That is given in the scriptures. The things that come out of the mouth are but a sampling of what is in their heart. In a big way. Out of the abundance, what is filling my heart? What is in my heart in a big way? What dominates my heart? Out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. Right? Your lips will betray you. Eventually, the one who most carefully guards conceals his heart through trying to conceal his speech will eventually give himself away. Right? It's a guarantee they will. Now why? James chapter 3 says what? No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So you can't and won't ever get it under control completely. And so what is in the heart in abundance will kind of come out of the lips in little samplings, in little slips. Right? This is why, by the way, when someone is saying something to me, sometimes I have troubles. by the way, don't hint at me. I don't take hints. When we were first married, my wife used to make hints. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by hinting? She would come out. She wouldn't come out and say it, but she would give little hints. And I don't get hints. She eventually had to just come out and say it anyways. By the way, don't ever mouth things without the words coming out of your mouth either, because I can't read lips and I don't understand that either, so don't do that either. When you're trying to get something across to me, okay, make sure you have my attention. Right? Because sometimes even I could be standing right in front of you looking at you and not hearing a word you're saying. Literally. So make sure you have my attention. I'm sure every woman in this room might say that from time to time about her husband. But we're just men. We do that. Make sure you have my attention. Now, here's what I've learned. When I am listening, I've learned that when someone has something that seems very small or insignificant, when it comes out of their mouth, it's really a big thing in their heart. Yeah, this will help you in a personal relationship when people say things to you. That'll help us. When your spouse is saying, "Honey, it would be nice if you put the toilet seat down when you were done, after you were using it. It would just show a little bit of consideration." Now that's not a small thing that the wife is saying. If you're wise, you'll really listen to that. Because you see, that toilet seat is really a big deal to her, and so you just listen and you get that from it, because that's the way it is. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, does everybody see how that works in your life? Right? If we listen more carefully, we'd understand each other better and know what was really in the heart. So we can also pass a discerning judgment on the foolish man based on what comes out of his mouth, because we know that kind of thing is in his heart in abundance. All right, what's another person we should avoid? I think this is the last person we should avoid. Roman numeral number 6, an immoral person. An immoral person. Turn with me to Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to look at verse 3. Proverbs 29 and verse 3. Because there it says in Proverbs 29:3, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. Now, let me say this. None of us should be close friends with an immoral person. I mean, that should be common sense. That should be something that we should know already. But don't make friends with an immoral person. Now, I understand that Proverbs 29, verse 3 here is a warning, really, for the man about keeping close association with harlots. But it goes both ways, doesn't it? It works for a man. It also works for a woman. Don't do it. It's talking about loose, immoral people, whether it be men or whether it be women, either one. In our culture, our society today is kind of saturated with those types of people. People to avoid. Let's look at letter A. Wise children, according to this verse, receive instruction and warning from their parents. Okay, letter A. In acting upon paternal wisdom, one's life prospers. When we act upon paternal wisdom, our life prospers. Yeah, it says, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice. Now why? Because his life has prospered. You follow wisdom, your life will prosper. And he becomes the pride of his parents. Aren't you proud when your children behave? When they do right, right? When they obey your instructions, it brings happiness. It brings happiness not only to those who are doing it, but to those who are trying to instruct, those who are the parents or whoever else. Why? Because they're following the ways of wisdom. They're following the ways of God. But, letter B, the foolish engage in immorality and waste their resources on sensuality. The foolish engage in immorality and waste their resources on sensuality. Those who associate with immoral people will engage in immorality. It eventually will come. Always. It is always a costly pursuit, too. Now think of this. I read a study a while back about the cost of immorality. Now they have all these different studies. I can't remember where it was, but they have all these different studies. You know, how much this disease costs and how much that disease costs. And they put dollar figures on it. Well, they did one on immorality. How much immorality costs people or costs governments or whatever on a yearly basis. And have you ever considered the cost just to deal with the legal issues that come with immorality? I mean, things like divorce. Things like children born out of wedlock, things like all those legal issues, custody, when that happens. Have you ever thought about the cost of all that? I forgot the number figure they gave, but I'm sure it's staggering. Absolutely staggering, the cost of immorality. Letter B. Oh, wrong. Sorry. I'm on the wrong page. All right. That is not the last person, is it? Okay, number 7. Another person not to hang around with, not to be friends with, a sinful person. Of course, you could describe all these people that are already going through as sinful people, right? But turn with me to Proverbs 24 and verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 24, the first couple of verses. And God's word says in Proverbs 24, starting in verse 1, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Of course, it says, don't even desire to be with them, let alone be around them. Don't even desire to do it. Now, if you quickly turn over to Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 10 through verse 15. Proverbs 1, starting with verse 10. And it says there, in Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us and let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Now, what does that mean? That means I am to avoid this type of person. He is not to be my friend. Letter A, beware of envying evil men. Beware of envying evil men. And again, our society today glorifies men that God condemns. They glorify men that God condemns. Don't become enamored by celebrities. Right? Trouble starts in the heart when we start becoming enamored, when we start envying those types of people. And we talked about that in the beginning. You know what happens? Well, let me give you an old example here. There used to be an old series of billboards in the U.S. I don't know if you've heard of this, by a guy known by the name of the Marlboro Man. Have you ever heard of him? All right. The Marlboro Man was a cowboy, and Marlboro was a brand of cigarette. And in the advertising for these cigarettes was the Marlboro Man, and boy, he was a man's man. You know, he's a cowboy. He's a big, handsome, rugged guy wearing the big Stetson hat, riding a fancy horse, and he's got the rope in his hand. He's ready to lasso a steer or whatever, and he was tough. He was a tough guy, and he had this Marlboro cigarette hanging out of his mouth. You know. He was the Marlboro Man. And you know why advertisers picture him like that? To make us envious, to get us to smoke Marlboros, right? If you smoke Marlboros, you'll be like the Marlboro Man, right? To get you envious of something. That's what they try to do. All of our advertising that we find on television today is to get us envious. It really is. And what they don't show, really, is the Marlboro Man 10 years later, after he's got oxygen coming into his nose and he's suffering from emphysema. They don't show that, right? But they show the things that make us envious. The things that make us want to be like that person. The Bible says, don't be envious of evil men. Don't be envious. It always begins in the heart. Right? Me personally, I'm not enamored by celebrities. I guess if I met one, I might shake his hand or whatever. I don't know, but I'm not enamored by celebrities. I'm not impressed by them. And by the way, be careful who you allow your children to be, to look at as their heroes. Right? A lot of those celebrities, movie stars, singers, people like that are wicked, immoral people. And the Bible teaches us not to envy the wicked. Keep that away from our young people. Why? Because that trouble starts, again, it starts in the heart. Trouble starts in the heart. Letter B, do not desire association with the wicked, no matter how appealing it may be. Don't desire association with the wicked, no matter how appealing it may be. Remember, the devil's crowd is always the in crowd. They're always the in crowd. Not only should you avoid the wicked, but your heart should not desire association with them. And this may come as a shock to you, but I personally am not part of the in crowd. Right? You might say, Paul, you're just not You're just not part of the edge of cool in society today. Well, I'm not. No. Right? And I never will be. Because those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will always be pushed to the edges of society. Always be pushed to the outskirts. And be that as it may, that's fine. I'm fine with that. We don't need to be part of the in crowd. We don't. Letter C. Guarding the desires of your heart means controlling the content upon which your mind and spirit feed. You need to control the content upon which your mind and your spirit feed. Now, you don't have to turn here, but Psalm 37. Now, I'm not going to go through all the psalm here, but Psalm 37 explains the steps of God's giving us the desires of our hearts. And God does promise. He does promise to give us our desires. Not the things that we want, but God changes our wanter as we draw close to Him. He changes the things that we want. He changes our hearts. And God can do that if we yield ourselves to Him, if we yield ourselves to His Word, and we avoid sinful people. We need to guard what we put into our minds, what we allow to sink deep into our hearts. Letter D, be careful about whom you partner with in business. Be careful with whom you partner with in business. In Proverbs 1, Solomon warns particularly about our propensity to affiliate with the wicked for the promise of financial gain. Be very careful about whom you partner with in business. Right? If a man has a wicked heart, it will be revealed in his business practices. Now, in all of these things, you're never to be unkind. Right? You're never to be rude to anybody. But sometimes you have to be firm, don't you? You do. Sometimes you have to be clear and you have to be direct. And sometimes in our culture, people take that as being unkind, as Christians. See, people sometimes take avoiding people or not wanting to be with people as being rude or unkind. But you're never to be rude or unkind to other people, to anybody. But did you know, I hope you know by now, that there are some people that with whom you cannot associate being a Christian. You cannot be close friends, close associates to. There just are. There are some people that God forbids you from being close friends to. Oh, but Pastor, you know, I'm going to be the best buddy I can to them so that I can win them. And again, no. What always happens is that the friendship goes beyond the winning. You know, if you're going to win him, confront him with the gospel. Do that first. See him get saved. And then you'll have something in common. There can be a closeness there. You know, I've found that I cannot have closeness. I cannot have a heart-to-heart closeness. I'm not talking about someone who's kind of an associate or maybe a distant friend or whatever. But I cannot have a heart-to-heart closeness with someone who does not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, why? Because that fellowship is not there. We don't have those things in common. Okay, sure, we share some things in common. We share maybe a hobby or something like that. But that hobby is temporal. And I think it's all going to one day burn, isn't it? And this man needs the Lord Jesus Christ. You take somebody who knows Christ in their heart, someone who is a true believer, and there's almost an instant fellowship with that person, isn't there? You know, we've befriended people in many congregations. Our congregation there at Fellowship, here at Central Mountains and other churches, we've befriended people in different congregations of various backgrounds and beliefs and cultures and countries and different things like that. But there's almost an immediate bond because of Christian fellowship. There always is. And I'm saying this today. Avoid the wrong kinds of friends. You know, they will mess up your life. And get the best kinds of friends. Get godly Christian friends. And as we said in the last message, friends who can improve you in some area of your life, some area in which you're lacking. And watch what the Lord will do. When you avoid someone, it's not out of meanness. It's not out of rudeness, but it's out of preservation of your own testimony, of your own Christian walk, of your effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you, make sure you have the right types of friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word today. Lord, it's very clear. It's crystal clear. And it's very pointed. It's direct. And it hits us right where we live. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more submissive to the Bible, to understand, Lord, that there are certain classes of people that if we associate them with them, our lives will be damaged, our testimonies will be tarnished, perhaps even our spiritual walk will be harmed very deeply by those associations. Lord, keep us loving you so much that we desire fellowship with the people of God, with those who share that common bond in brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, those who walk in the light. Lord, bless your word to our hearts tonight, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.